and now Evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I want us to think about our responsibility to the eldership. Last Sunday, if you were in the adult Bible class, you were a part of three lessons. We talked in the adult Bible class in the auditorium about the elders, their job description that comes simply from their titles that are given in the Bible. We looked also in the Sunday morning and Sunday evening services to the qualifications that these men must have before they go into the office of an elder. Oftentimes, if I could make a statement as bold as this, one of the most overlooked responsibilities in the congregation is the responsibility that each member has in following the eldership. You and I have a tremendous responsibility and obligation to follow the lead of a godly eldership. That seems to be somewhat what Paul was addressing in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. We read two simple verses that give us a powerful statement of what you and I are to be. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Brother Bobby Duncan in his book makes this statement about his book about elders. He says an eldership can lead only to the extent the church is willing to follow. A true and powerful statement. The eldership can lead only to the extent that the church is willing to follow. This morning, very quickly, let's gain a few truths that would help all of us. Number one, in verse 12, he says here, "I beseech you, brethren." He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the congregation. And it's a very serious matter. He's begging them. He's pleading with them. He's instructing them in this manner. And Paul, what is it that all the brethren of the church need to know? He says, "Know the ones that labor among you." This ought to not be a tremendous challenge for East Gadsden. But yet, as in any command, we all could give excuses. I wonder what the excuses are going to sound like on the Day of Judgment, especially for congregations that perhaps are made up of 1,000 individuals, and they have perhaps 12 or 15 elders. How many of the elders are going to know the flock? And how many of the members are going to know the elders that are over them? Now listen, brethren. We're a small congregation, and as I've stated, there's really no excuse, but really excuses can't be made when we're serving in the kingdom of God. And I encourage you, it is a command from God to know them that labor among you. If you don't know our elders by name, and you don't know their face, and you don't know some things about them, why don't you? You're commanded to. It might be as simple as inviting them over for a meal. It might be as simple as just meeting them here at the building. It might be as simple as just visiting with them from time to time. No matter how simple or how complicated it might be, the command is given. You and I are to know them. Well, there's some reasoning behind this that Paul gives. Number one, you need to know them because they labor among you. Listen, this isn't a thing that you and I might look at in the workplace where we say, "Well, I have a boss or a supervisor or a superintendent, and I don't care anything about that man or that woman. All that matters is that I get my day's work done. And if I get my day's work done, I don't hear from them, and they don't hear from me, and everything's just fine." Sometimes that attitude seems to carry over into the church, and brethren, it just can't be. Do some of us not have an attitude, at least I don't think as much so here at East Gadsden, but some in the church do not have the attitude that says something like this? Listen, if I go to church 3 times a week and I drop money in the collection and I do a few good things from now to now, there's no reason for me to ever talk with the elders. That's just not the case according to God's Word. We can't carry over what some have in the workplace attitude over into Christianity. Instead, Paul lays out a picture that looks like this. He says, each one of you are to be members of the kingdom of heaven. Each one of you are to be carrying out works. And he says, you know what? Those elders, the ones that are leading you, they're involved in the same work. So what it amounts to is, brethren, we are in this together. United we stand, divided we fall. There's no place for division in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if it's division among two members. It doesn't matter if it's a division among just a few. It doesn't matter if it's a division among the elders and the members. There's no place for division. Instead, we're to know them because we labor together. It's not a hierarchy where one group is looking down and one group, the members, become the slaves to the leaders. Nothing in any stretch of the imagination. Instead, if we go back to what the Bible teaches about eldership, we see very quickly that the elders are serving just as much, if not more, than anyone else. Tremendous responsibility that you and I have, though, to know them that labor among you. Now, notice second down that list in verse 12, not only as those that labor among you, but also those that are over you in the Lord. In Acts the 20th chapter, in verse 28, Paul, as he was speaking to the elders of Ephesus, made it very clear that they were made overseers by the Holy Ghost. Brethren, that's the way God designed the church. If we have some misunderstanding to think that elders are just taking on some God-forbidden authority and looking over us, we have not learned what the will of God is in our lives and in the design of the church. The design of the church is that Christ is the head of the church and we are the body. We are the members of Christ's body. And we are to be in subjection to the lead of the eldership, which is in subjection to Christ. They are to oversee us. They are to guide us and direct us. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and let's read a few verses there together. And let's notice this leadership. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, Peter says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight." Now, how is an elder to take this oversight? Notice, "not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." So, brethren, when we couple together what Acts 20 and 28 says, it says that it's God's intention, it's God's design by the Holy Spirit that these men be overseers. Well, how is God's design? That these men fulfill the qualifications that men must have to be elders. Then we turn over to 1 Peter and we see this, that leadership role is not to be because they force it upon anyone. Well, how is it, Peter? That leadership role is to be because these men have lived such a life that the congregation has asked them to serve as their elders. Has asked them to serve as the leader. And when I say ask, I mean in the sense that the congregation is ready and willing, as Peter said, to follow their lead. Brethren, one of the greatest, greatest blessings that we have at East Gadsden is men that are able and willing to serve in the role of elder. If you don't think that that is a blessing, you be a part of a congregation for a length of time that has no elders. And you'll see the tremendous blessing. Before I came to East Gadsden, as some of you know, I worshipped in a congregation that had no elders. They had never had elders, and it didn't look like that they would have them any time in the near future. You want some heartache, and you want some headache. You look at a congregation that has designed themselves without the design that Christ has given. One of the tremendous blessings by God's design is for a congregation to have elders. You see, it's not a burden to you and I as members that someone is looking over us. It's a blessing. It's such a blessing that Paul would say, "Know them." Why, Paul? Because they have the oversight over you. They care for you. Just as a shepherd at the end of the day gathers his sheep together and he looks over them and he cares for them, and at night when wolves try to break in, he protects them, and in the morning when their sore is on their face, he anoints their head with oil. He cares for them. And brethren, it is a blessing when we have men that care for our spiritual being, and that if they see that a false teaching is coming in, they protect us. And if they see that we're in a hardship spiritually, they come to us and offer support and guidance and prayers. Listen, we all should be grateful and we all should be more than willing to know the men that have the oversight over us. But also, as we go back to our text, we see finally in verse 12 that we should know them because they admonish us. The word admonish is a very strong word. Now, it's easy to read through a verse and just kind of Just kind of read through it and not think about it. But the fact is, when you and I come to the word admonish in the Bible, we need to stop and we need to look closely. Because the word admonish literally means to go with someone with other instruction, an instruction that leads to righteousness. Here Paul says, there's going to be times, brethren, and this morning we could look over this audience and perhaps none of us knows who it would be, and by no means am I trying to point any fingers. It might be me, but it may be you. But the odds are good, if God allows time to stand, that this morning there will be one of us, if not many of us, in this auditorium that at time to time will be on the wrong path. Satan will have pulled us aside. Whether we know it or not, we might be on the wrong path. And it's the elders' responsibility to care for the sheep and to come and to admonish us to say, you're traveling the wrong way. We want to show you the way of righteousness and we want to plead with you to follow it. Now, of course, that is the responsibility of each Christian. But it is especially the responsibility of the elders as they have taken on the task of overseeing the spiritual welfare of the congregation. Listen to this very carefully, brethren. For some of you, this may click, and I may, because of my miscommunication, miss the point completely in your mind. But think about this. Odds are much better that you will listen to the admonishing of the elders if you have already known them and appreciated them and their work's sake. If in the past you have known these men, you have taken the time to do what the Bible says, to get to know them and to love them, when finally one of these days, if you make a wrong turn in life and they come and they knock on your door, you're going to know that they're not just checking up on you, that they just want to look down your nose, but instead, they're going to know that, hey, He loves me. He cares for me. He wants me to do right. And perhaps that's what we will have needed, to stop and take a better look at our life and a better look at the Word of God. God's book is a wonderful book in the way it fits together. One of the commands that you and I are commanded to do is to know those that rule over us and admonish us. Now, very quickly this morning, let us see this second thing in verse 13. We're also commanded to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. The word esteem means to look upon them, to review them, or to view them, or to regard them, not only as individuals, but also to regard them for the office that they hold. It goes back to the dignity, to the respect that they are due because of the dignity and the respect that their office is due. It goes back, if you will, if you were here last Sunday morning, you remember the emphasis we placed on 1 Timothy 3rd chapter and verse 1, where Paul said, yes, it is a true saying. If a man desire the work of an office, the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Brethren, we place so much emphasis on the phrase desire. Rightfully so. Not taking anything away from that. But I think sometimes we miss the point also that's being made there to say, this is a wonderful work. This is a work that is worthy of desiring. Listen, brethren, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonican brethren, he said, yes, they deserve to be esteemed, respected highly. How? In love. Notice that is agape love. If you and I were to turn back to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the love chapter of the Bible, that would be the definition of love that you and I are to have for elders, and we're to esteem them highly and carry it out. That love is not a verbal love. That love is not an emotional love. That love is a love that is lived out in our life. Because we esteem them highly for the things they've done in verse 12, we live our life in such a way as to appreciate their guidance and to live for the same Lord in which they live and they serve. But notice this. Esteem them very highly in love. Why? Because they're your neighbor, best neighbor you ever had. It's not what he says. Because your buddy's with them and he's your best friend. It's not what it says. Because that seems to just be like the social thing to do. It's not what it says. Brethren, you esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. Paul takes it right back to the office itself. And he says a man that can fulfill the qualifications to be in this office. And a man that will give his time, his effort, his energy, his care, compassion, and concern to fulfill the duties, requirements of that office is a man that deserves your respect, your love, your cooperation. This morning, I urge every one of us, let's respect our elders. Always. There are going to be times where you and I, when it comes to areas of judgment, we might not agree. It might not be our first preference, the area of judgment in the decision they made. But let's respect them. And let's love them because they had to make some kind of decision. And let's respect them for their work's sake, for what they carried out. When it comes to areas of doctrine, let's always pray, teach, exhort, command, and demand the truth of God's Word, the doctrine of Christ. This morning, one of the greatest blessings that you and I can give to the eldership is the blessing of peace. Do you notice how that verse 13 ends? It ends by saying, "And peace be with you." Why did he say that? I thought he was talking about elders and the congregation. What brought up the subject of peace? Brethren, you want to destroy peace in a congregation, you stir up strife between the eldership and the congregation and you'll see a division that will cause scars and tears for generations. Let's all strive for peace. Love one another as God has loved us. To love each other as ourselves.
To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This morning, as we think about our relationship in the church, perhaps one thing I must ask myself this morning, am I a member of the church? Am I what Christ wants me to be in the church? Have I ever come to Him through baptism after hearing that He is the Son of God, believing it, repenting or turning away from my sin? And confessing that He is the Son of God, then living for Him. Perhaps we've been baptized, but somewhere we have strayed from living for Him. This morning, I ask you, is your heart and is your life right with God? If it's not, the rest of the things we discussed this morning aren't that important to you. But it should be. This morning, let's make sure that everything about our spiritual life is right. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and as we sing.